Nice to see you all, seeing all your kind faces. Nice to meet you. I'm Yara Lukic, and I'm excited to share this Sunday Sangha with you today. What we are about to the title of this session is how can we respond with compassion to difficult situations? And before we go and start that talk and practice and Q&A, let's take a few moments to just be with whatever there is right now. So I invite you with eyes open or closed, just for a few moments of presence. Let's just be with whatever there is, as it is. We are merely the observance of everything there is. We don't need to do anything, just be. Take a moment to think of one thing that you're grateful for in this very moment. You can put your hands together in namaste or put one or two hands on your heart. And feel that gratitude. When you are ready, slowly open your eyes and come back to us. Thank you all. I truly believe that the silence is there within us. It sits in the background of our minds and of our heart mind and sits there with the compassion and just waits for us to come closer. And each time we do that, we come closer to ourselves, we come closer to our presence, and we're able to share that presence a bit more with ourselves and with others. And every time we practice this compassion, gratitude, presence with whatever there is, we are practicing not only in terms of meditation, but actually practicing the ability of the mind to go back to those places in our daily lives. And this ability to me is something that really changed my mind dramatically. And I'm not a dramatic person, but throughout the years, I began quite diff I've had quite a difficult childhood, and criticism was one thing I experienced more than everything, more than anything else. And the lack of support was really felt. And from that experience, I had to, or I always say that I was lucky enough to suffer at a young age. So now I'm able to share this compassion that I was taught, and I'm able and really privileged to share with others. And so the title today is Compassion in Difficult Times. And sometimes what happens is that when we are experiencing difficult times, either in, a collective difficult times or personal difficult times, what happens is that our perspective narrows down. We know it when we feel pain, either emotional or physical pain. We know that the thought, the mind, only think from the source of the pain. If I have a pain on my right hand, all of a sudden there is no left hand and the rest of the body just disappears. I only feel and notice the experiences of pain that I'm enduring. And meditation and mindfulness and presence allows us, along with compassion, to see that an experience that, of course, there are pains in our lives, in our societies, either personal or, larger than us. But we can always look at the glass and see it is always also half full, but also half empty. We shouldn't just wish to see the only half full glass, because that means that we don't see the full reality as it is. So we want to see that there might be pain in my right hand, but also remember and experiencing that there is a whole deeper experience that there is, that we have things to be thankful for, even when we experience pain and difficult times. So I want to talk a little bit about the suffering, and I noticed that actually one phrase that I really like is that of Jack Kornfield, I believe, that says that if your compassion does not include yourself, it is not full or whole. And within that sentence, I see that there is this greater understanding that we sometimes find it easier to share compassion with others and lack the ability to share compassion with ourselves. And sometimes this wish for to ease the pain of others is such a burden that we're not able to actually do anything. And in those situations, in difficult times like that, sometimes what we experience, it might seem like compassion, but if we really look at it, if we're really with curiosity, we might notice that instead of compassion, we're feeling pitiless. And we might, if it within our own lives, we might feel comfort or just things that are feeling as if it's easier to just hold the pain of ourselves or others. But at the same time, we understand that compassion is not just pitiness, because pitiness just brings more suffering to our lives. And pitiness does not allow us to take action towards ourselves, towards others. It's just sitting on the fence, looking and saying, well, there is suffering. I feel the pain, and there is suffering inside of me or out in the world, and there is suffering. And repeating that over and over again doesn't cure, doesn't bring compassion, doesn't bring ease to the lives of anyone. It just brings more suffering. So, in order to deal with this complexity, first we would like to ask, is what I'm feeling pitiness or compassion? And to answer it, I would say that we know the difference, all of us, because compassion is such a beautiful movement when love meets pain. So it really doesn't matter where it comes from. When love meets pain, when we recognize pain and we feel it, and we channel love to that feeling, this channeling will allow us to take action. Because instead of despair and the feeling and stress and the feeling that we don't have anything to do about a situation which pitiness brings to our lives, compassion takes us to an action. And there will we might think, okay, but there are so many things to fix. There are so many things that are painful within our lives, within the lives of others. I want to change so much, and things are not so easily changing. And to me, these are also just ideas and ideals that we have of how life should be, and how the world should be, and how people should behave, and how we should behave and feel, and so on. And in my experience, there are no actions that are not worth taking when compassion leads the way. We might wish to do greater things, we might wish to experience greater change. But in fact, just the baby steps that are visible to us in this very moment are so huge, are such a great impact on the world. If each one of us takes this just one small step, instead of wishing to change everything there is, we just, open one sangha that mix different groups, and we just smile to another person or just hold a door for someone else. We can just make different actions to change the world a little bit, step by step, for the better. And of course, each one of us has our own pains and the things that are visible to us more. If we notice something, it doesn't mean everyone else notices the same thing. We are able to take the action that we see, the one small step, instead of the ideals of changing the world. We can change our communities, we can change ourselves, and bring that joy and compassion to the lives of others around us. And so, in this offering, I find it really widening. It really supports when we are experiencing stress and despair due to challenging times, to remember that the glass is half empty and half full, and that there are things that we can do. Every moment, every experience, there are things that we can do always. And I believe that that way of thinking, that way of thinking allows us to lower the levels of our stress, lower the levels of our despair, because stress arises when we are experiencing things that, in the Buddhist tradition, either we want something that there isn't, or we don't want something that there is. And when we understand that we have the power to just do something about it, that we can take action, we can notice that the stress levels are not as high because we don't feel like it's overwhelming. It's not bigger than us to make a small change. It's just one thing that we can do every day, just one step at a time. And so I find compassion to be a real cure, because it is first mending our hearts within us, and then this is such a great power, the power of love meets pain, that it is necessarily going out. There is no other way. It is movement instead of just an inside sensation. And of course, it is always easier to practice compassion in theory, practicing metta and just sitting and wishing everyone to be well and feel well. And sometimes it takes just a little bit more to take that action. But there we may find a gap, because the thinking, the mind will tell us we need to take a big action. We need to change greatly. And when we think that way, it might feel overwhelming and might bring us to not doing anything. And again, feeling more stress and leading us to just reading online or wherever there is about the pain of others and suffering in the world. And it exists. It is true. But we can do one thing at a time, every step of the way. And so, compassion is not pettiness. And I find the three things, of course, that the Dharma really helps us see, that supports this way of thinking with compassion. One, that if we resonate too much with the pain, with any pain, we feel it's so strong that we are sometimes unable to take action. And again, action could be a hug to ourselves or a smile to one another. And the sensation of I am not the pain, we are not the pain. These are just clouds in the sky that we can see. Look at those clouds and say, well, now the clouds are darker. Now the clouds are brighter. We can notice this shift, this change. And within noticing this change and noticing that we are not the pain that we're seeing, we don't have to hold it within ourselves. It is not something that we have to hold on our shoulders. We can also notice within the ch this changes of the clouds that the impermanence of things. Because of course, as meditators, you may know that every practice of meditation is basically a practice of impermanence. We're always noticing and learning and teaching the bodies to recognize that everything always changes. And from that thought, everything always changes. That also lowers the stress levels a little bit and the despair and allow us to take an action. And within that, again, going back to the glass half empty, half full, I see that great acceptance. Just, if we're not identify, if we don't identify with the sensations, with the pain, with the color of the clouds, we are able to accept things as they are. It is now painful here, there. It is now something that I may wish to be more at ease. And sometimes it is not at a certain moment. And recognizing it is not being a bad student, but the opposite. Saying now it is difficult to me is recognizing the impermanence and accepting things as they are. And from that, we can see that even the pain as the joy, the suffering as the happiness, everything shifts from moment to moment. And if we don't hold on to one thought or the other, we're able to experience those changes moment to moment, moment to moment. And when we experience those changes, we are able to enjoy life more and take more action. And we know those things, but sometimes it is always good to remember that if we want to, that's the Dalai Lama, I believe. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. So there is no separation between our compassion and compassion to others. And to me, just making a shift instead of the worrying that comes from either the pickiness of or the sense of stress and the overwhelming understanding that we may not be able to change things as they are. We can just shift this worrying into caring, into instead of, oh, what happens with others, we can just wish them to feel better, to change this way of thinking and let the heart mind lead us, because that's the compassion leading us throughout the way. I believe that in every in every step that we take in our lives, there might be fear and there might be anger and there might be all kinds of emotions. And we can take the action of comfort or fear or anything else. And we can always also choose the one that may be more scary, but still we know within our hearts that is compassion that is taking us there. So I invite you to just think right now of just an action, a small one, maybe a personal one or a collective one or in, within your community. That feels like compassion. That feels like the heart mind is leading you there. And think of something that you can actually accomplish. And also try to think of the specifics, how and where and when. Let us proceed to metta meditation together. With our eyes open or closed, whatever supports us right now. Let us sit tall to take care of our bodies as well. Breathe through your nose softly. For a few moments, let's just let things come and go. Thoughts from the talk that we just had, emotions. Just notice the clouds as they appear and shift. Understanding that the thoughts, the emotions, the sensations will continue on coming and going. We invite gentle awareness to the sensation of the air coming in and out of our nostrils. Even if we focus for just one moment, and then the mind takes us elsewhere, we bring back our attention gently to the sensations of the air going slowly in and out of our nostrils. The breath is our anchor. Throughout the meditation, we can always go back to the sensations of the breath. And let's take a moment to think of someone we love dearly. That thinking about them fills our bodies and heart with love. And let us notice the sensations of love, the bodily sensations. Where and what can we notice? The changes throughout the bodies, our bodies, when we think about a loved one. Sometimes in life. Even our loved ones experience pain. Let's think about a time now or in the past when our loved one experienced pain. And recognize the bodily sensations shift. With curiosity, let us recognize the bodily sensations of when we think of the pain of our loved one. Both love and pain exist within our bodies every moment of every day. Let us remember once again the sensation of love that we have for our loved ones. And let this love fill our bodies once again. And let's feel as if this great love goes all the way from us, all the way to our loved one. As a strong, bright light nurtures our loved one. Brings them comfort. Eases their pain. And we may put our hands on our hearts. Ori namaste. And send them our wishes. May you be happy. May our loved ones be healthy. May they know joy and compassion. We can take our hands down and think of someone that we don't like as much. Maybe they hurt us, knowingly or unknowingly. And while we think of that person, we may notice the bodily sensations once again shifted. Let us remember that just as our loved ones, all the beings wish to be happy. Let's try to remember the sensations of love that we have for our loved ones. Bring those sensations back to our bodies. And now send it to that person that we don't like as much. because they too are suffering. And wish to be happy. And we can wish them too. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you know love and joy. Let's take a moment to think of ourselves. You may notice again the bodily sensations shift. Let's feel ourselves again with love. And now direct this love inwardly. If necessary, once again, we can think of our loved ones. Invite that loving sensation back to our bodies. But now, channel that love to yourself. As all other beings, we also wish to be happy. Then let us bring our hands together once more in Namaste or on our hearts. Let us wish ourselves may I be happy. May I be healthy. May I know, deeply know love. Compassion and joy. For the last time now, let's wish all living creatures, all beings, let us send that love out. To the beings around us, or ones that are near or far, big or small, in the ocean, in the sky, under or on the ground. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings know love. Enjoy. When you're ready, come back to us and open your eyes. Thank you for that practice. And before we move forward to the Q&A, I just want to ask you to just look around the people that you can see in the gallery view. If you can open your cameras, if you only if you feel comfortable. Just look around and notice and that we all shared this experience, this practice right now, as we share so many things on our daily lives, knowingly or unknowingly. We are experiencing things together and such beautiful faces and people. And we are experiencing this too together. Thank you. And I would love to hear if you have any questions or anything you would love to share. I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, Samantha, you can open up your mic.
Hello, can you
Hi.
hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the session. It's my first time doing something like that, and it's the first time that I'm discovering Buddhist practice. So that was a very nice introduction. So thank you very much for it. And everything that you said about compassion made me think a lot because I don't know, I had my own definition of compassion, and then you brought yours, and I'm trying to find some nuances so I can really understand the meaning of it. So when I was thinking of the meaning of compassion, at some point you were saying something like it's where love meets with pain. And then I was thinking about how, from what I know so far of Buddhism, you have to let go of the pain. So then that brought some questioning in my mind, because to have compassion, then you should be holding pain to some extent. But is it that you need to observe the pain, or you actually need to hold the pain? And I'm confused because I thought there was about letting go of the suffering. So if you have anything to tell me to help me know the difference.
Yes, of course. Great question, Samantha. So yes, love meets pain means that there is pain within our lives. Dukkha, the suffering, is part of our life, right? Where I don't think there is someone who will never experience any kind of pain here or elsewhere. And so we shouldn't hold on to the pain, but it exists within our lives. So we have the ability to just observe pain as it is. As we came back in the practice, for example, even thinking of someone that we don't like as much, or thinking of the pain of our loved ones, we can go back to the bodily sensations. This is a one way to just observe pain, but not hold on to it.
Okay, yeah, I do understand. And I understand the value of observing that pain, because without the pain, you can't really understand the true meaning of love. And that brings me to what I was thinking during my meditation, because I was thinking of the people that I really deeply love, but I realized I didn't really understand how I loved them until I was thinking of someone I didn't love as much. And then when I came back to the love I had first, I was like, oh, that was love. I just didn't realize it was really love because I took it for granted, I guess. So yeah, anyways, that was my observation.
Thank you. Beautiful observation. And noticing the love that we hold for our loved ones also can always develop love for everyone else. So even if you feel that big difference between this love and that love, know that when we are not so identifying with the love for one person or the other, we can just open our hearts a little bit more even, and just feel that. Let love to whoever. Of course, it's our loved ones, you know. There is no competition, but it is possible to share that love.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
Cool. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you have any more questions, you feel free to write to me afterwards or whatever.
Okay, thanks you. I appreciate it.
Course.
Yes, Leslie, go ahead. Mute yourself.
Hi, thank you so much. That was a lovely meditation. I want to ask a difficult question, and that is, what does compassion look like when you cannot act? I
Again.
myself am. What does compassion look like without action? If you are somebody like myself, I am a senior person and I'm disabled. I can't take a lot of action. And I live in a senior community, and with a lot of seniors and disabled people. And in the past, I've been able to be of help and of service in my community. And now, of course, the needs are much greater. Needs are growing every day for all of us. And yet I'm at a time when I cannot step up action. I cannot become more. I cannot do more. As a matter of fact, because of my own situation, I need to step back and do less. So that, in doing that, that feels like I'm losing my compassion. You know, I'm losing my, because I'm losing my service. I'm like equated service with compassion. And now I can't be so much of service. So therefore, am I being not compassionate? And I worry that on the part of other people, they're seeing that too. They're seeing, well, Leslie's just not compassionate for us anymore. You know what I mean? She's not being of service, you know? And so it's a different quality. I think you can be compassionate without action. I just want to know what it looks like. Thank you.
Thank you for a beautiful and deep question. And the answer to your questions lays within what is action. Action that you may know from your future, your past doings was a physical one. It was the act of maybe going to someone and paint their house or bring them flowers. And there are endless ways that compassion can be shown within our daily lives. Actually, just last week, I lost my grandfather, and I was in an elderly home with my grandmother. And just this lady just saw us crying, and she came to us, just took two steps, and brought tissues. This is such a great act of compassion, and it doesn't take much to do physically. And an act of compassion can be one of just calling a friend who is in need, or just calling to ask someone, how are you feeling today? And an act of compassion can be just sharing the love, meaning taking an act of compassion. And sometimes when we don't see a visible action, we can always just sit and practice metta and send that love. That is also an act of compassion. Thinking is also an action that may lead us to more action. So, to answer your question, I am sure, especially because you asked that question, that you have so much compassion within you and so much care. And I see the nodding around here. There is no doubt about it. The fact that you care so much and you feel like you used to help more physically, and now you're unable to do so, doesn't mean that you're not compassionate. It just means that you will find the ways that you can share your compassion, your great compassion with others now as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I just say something?
Yes, please.
Just to add to what you were saying, yeah, to Leslie in particular. And this is a particular experience of mine. When we were all under lockdown in 2020 with the COVID, I was already, I had been trained as a mindful self-compassion teacher for quite a while. And of course, everything stopped. So the meetings together, all of that was, we couldn't do it. And I remember a particular meeting we had with a group of teachers trying to find ways to support people. And one of those particular teachers, I live by the seaside, and she lives in a huge city that is about 60 kilometers away from here. She teaches at the university, and she enjoys the ocean. She's an ocean fan like I am. But we were all locked down. We couldn't move. We couldn't even leave our houses. So she hadn't been close to the ocean for over 3 months. And in sharing, one thing she said is, what's one of the things that I really miss is to hear the ocean, see the ocean, feel the ocean. And after the meeting, I had a small video that I had made because I used to go to the beach in May when we can go just to swim and film just to keep to myself. And after the meeting, I just took that small video and sent her the video. I don't know what this is going to do, but I mean, she spoke so much about the ocean that it felt like I could share something that I can still go and out and see. You know, she replied to me an hour later. She saw the movie and said, that was one of the most generous things I've experienced in the last times. I still can't believe that today. I mean, she must have had more generous things. My doubt will always doubt that that was such a generous act. But in fact, I can recognize that for someone loving the ocean so much, having all the capacities and the possibilities, but being embedded to go to the ocean, have that 1 minute shot of the waves crashing into the, was somehow a bliss, a bit of a act of compassion. So, you know, as Yara as it was saying, I think that the fact that you ask yourself that question is the proof that you have a lot of compassion to give, and it might just be one word, one simple. It can have that feeling. That was my experience.
Thank you.
Cookie.
Thank you.
Thank you as always, George.
Anyone else wishes to ask or share?
Yes, Amanda, go ahead.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. Okay. So, no, I was thinking again about the subject of compassion. Do you have or do you perceive compassion and empathy differently, or for you, it's the same thing? Or if you have anything to say about it?
Yes. Again, great question. To me, there is a difference between empathy and compassion. And there is a nice story about just if we look at someone who is just, there is a rock burdening him, okay? And compassion would do something else than empathy and pity. So if we see someone suffering, for example, under this rock, pity would just stand aside and say, oh, he's suffering, he's enduring so much pain. Empathy would just look at that person and say, oh, I feel you. I see your pain. And compassion would ask, how can I help that person? How can I ease the pain of that person? Is there a way I can do that? And sometimes with pitiness and empathy, we go under the rock with someone. And compassion doesn't take you under the rock. It helps you just support them and helps you find a way to support yourself or others. Just find a way out of the rock.
That's a good answer. I'll think of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for that answer. That was an interesting story. I'm going to use that one.
Hello, can I'd like to ask a question?
Yes, please.
Yes, my background, I don't know how that showed up. I'm just learning how to use this. But one time, I have a I had a regret that I had about a relationship that was very wonderful, but I left it, and I always had a regret about that. And you were talking about what to do about suffering. Do you try to just look at it, understand it, or whatever? But I was at a retreat years ago with Thich Nhat Hanh, and this feeling of regret and also gratitude and regret at the same time. And so I hadn't really dealt with it. And so I decided just to let it, I stayed there an extra day later, just, I just let it wash over me, just let it feel it completely. And it seemed to help just to let it all out and to really feel the feelings that I had, as opposed to just bypassing them and moving on with my life, a busy life. And so I wonder what you thought about that, about actually letting the feeling of the suffering that you have or the what you're carrying really kind of wash over you and let it kind of just feel it completely. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you. Thank you. When we try not to feel something, do you think that we can actually not feel it? If we don't think about it, if we do other things, if we try to think about other things or suppress, does that feeling go away?
It can linger inside you, I think. You don't, it may not be in the forefront of your mind or emotions, but it's, whenever I would talk about it, I would feel that emotion and it would still be there for years and years. It was always there, But yeah.
No, that is exactly your answer. When we don't give space, meaning that we don't feel free to feel, we don't allow ourselves to feel something, doesn't matter what sensation, we are in a state of fighting with ourselves. And usually when it happens, it doesn't come to conclusion until we accept that we are feeling this sensation, that we
Exactly.
are seeing that now the cloud is darker. And sometimes just the giving space of for that emotion is just crying or expressing it in any way possible. And sometimes we may feel in life that we experience the same pain over and over again, but instead, this is a teacher that we haven't listened carefully enough to hear the lesson that there is still to be learned. And I truly believe that suffering, such as regret, such as any other emotional pain, are our greatest teachers. Because it is very hard for us to learn a lesson without suffering a little. Because
Sure. Yep.
then we're looking for the answers. Then we're looking for the answers within ourselves. So to your question, I think giving space to pain and seeing it without fighting it is a great and very important step on the way to accepting one's emotion.
No, I think so. One of the things, there was so much loving kindness at this retreat that I was at. You could, it was so thick, you could almost cut it with a knife or something. And it brought me back to that situation, you know, 20 years earlier that I'd experienced. And that's what really brought it up. And it really let me know that it was still here and something I needed to really, go, you know, be with and know that it's there. And just, and it really helped to go through that process. And it was very important. So I think when you're suffering, it was not just observing and trying to keep it from coming on. Sometimes it's better let the grief or whatever just to come on in and somewhat overwhelm you at times.
Always.
Thank you. Thank you much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.